Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please find your Bible and again travel with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at verses 14 to 17 in a few moments, and we'll focus on wearing good news shoes. Written prominently into the job description of following Jesus Christ is the privilege and the responsibility of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ from our neighborhoods to our nations. Now, I would suggest to you that Jesus, with abundant clarity, called us to be fishers of men. People are dead in their trespasses and sin. They need light and life. And it's our privilege to share that light and life. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Don't leave anybody out because everybody counts. Everybody's created in the image of God, and they deserve a shot at the gospel. Jesus' last word to his disciple should be our first priority. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he looked at the disciples and he said, the power of my Spirit will come upon you. And I want you to translate that power into being my witness. A witness simply gives evidence of their experience. We're not judges, we're just witnesses. And I want you to start here in your hometown of Jerusalem, move on to Judea and Samaria, go to the ends of the earth and share the most important truth of all. That when you embrace my love and grace, you'll be in a new place. You'll move out of death and darkness into light and life. That is our job description. So today we focus on the good news shoes, which prompts me to ask you, how many pair of shoes do you have? How many pair of shoes do you have? Anybody here like Imelda Marcus? Imelda Marcus, do you remember her story? She even had a phone that was a shoe. She was the wife of the president of the Philippines, and when they were dethroned, she had 3,000 pair of shoe in her closet. Can anybody top that? Do I see a hand? Anybody have more than 3,000 pair? Okay, no. Well, this lady, she was a little bizarre. But anyway, what kind of shoes do you have? I got some shoes for different types of activities. You got some running shoes. Anybody have some outdoor shoes for going hunting or going fishing? I even have some shoes here, a lot of specialty shoes, for going into the water so you don't step on sharp objects at the beach. I got some dress shoes, have several pair of these. I counted in my closet. I was kind of embarrassed. I got 14 pair of shoes. In active service. I have some others that are inactive. And you're probably worse, so don't laugh, because we all got too many shoes, but I want to tell you about some shoes you ought to keep on. Some invisible shoes that you should never take off. They are called the good news shoes of the gospel. You remember Paul was attached to a Roman soldier. And he used the various components of that soldier's equipment to make a spiritual parallel, to teach us spiritual lessons. He said, put on that belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and always wear these special, sturdy shoes called the good news shoes. And we're going to talk about what that means in just a moment. Let's pick it up here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, stand firm. You got to have good shoes to stand firm now. Stand firm, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, friends, here's what I want you to do with me. For the next few moments, I want you to observe the gospel two-step. And let's begin with number one. the first thing I want you to observe is you are called to step into peace. Step into peace. Now, the Roman shoes were kind of special. For much of human civilization, people went barefooted. Or they had little tiny sandals made out of skin or cloth. It is said historically that the Roman soldiers were so successful because they had special shoes. As a matter of fact, they had shoes that were studded with nails. You've heard of a hobnailed boot? It was almost as if these shoes had cleats in them, because if you took a fall in a fight, it would be fatal. You got to stand firm. If you're in the heat of a battle and you lose your grip and you lose your footing and fall, you are dead. So you got to put on the shoes that'll help you stand firm. Well, the equivalent of that is stepping into the shoes that represent the gospel of peace. So I want to focus just for a moment on what that means, to step into the gospel of peace. You see, here's the great common denominator. No matter what happens when you come to Christ, some people get joy and they get really boisterous. Some people get calm and they get furtive or plaintive. But everybody gets peace. Something in the center of your soul comes to rest. You see, the scripture declares in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the core of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. You stop rebelling, you stop running, you start repenting, and you start resting in Christ. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, everyone who is weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I will give you peace as you walk with me. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have tribulation, but in me you will find peace. Years ago, I saw a bumper sticker that just stuck with me, and it becomes what I would call the gospel equation. Would you make this note? No Jesus, no peace. But when you know, K-N-O-W, it's a play on word, when you know Jesus, you will know real peace. That's why the Lord has come, so that you would no longer be at odds with God, but you would be at peace with your Creator. Maybe today some of you are passing through some rough terrain and you need that reminder to step into those shoes of peace, trusting the gospel that it's true. No matter what kind of terrain you're navigating, it may be the asphalt of adversity, just stand firm in those good news shoes. They're sturdy. You can trust them. Maybe you're passing through the rut of the routine, the marsh of the mundane, but in Christ you will find stability and His peace. Stand firm in His peace. I've had several funerals this week. Matter of fact, on Monday I'll have my fourth funeral in 6 days. And so I've been spending time with people who are dealing with death, and a lot of times that causes immense anxiety. But let me tell you a story of peace. A dear friend, Olin Vinson, in this church, he's been coming here for like 6 decades, a man of God. He was on the borderline of death. He was at his home, 919 Cloverdale Road, and his son Craig was with him, and Craig described it like this. He said that his daddy was slipping into a coma. He was in a hospital bed. Hospice was there. The caregivers were there. He hadn't been very responsive. And one of the caregivers turned on a CD of When the Saints Go Marching In. All right, file this somewhere. You might need it. So they start playing When the Saints Go Marching In. I want to be in that number, When the Saints Go Marching In. And Craig said, Olin, his eyes fluttered open. He sat up in bed. He raised up his hands and he started singing that song with this radiant smile on his face. Rallied out of a coma to say, I'm heading that way. Lord, I'm in that number when those saints go marching in. Do you know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of peace. That's a picture of knowing where you're going. Because when you know Jesus, you know peace. But let's keep going here. Here's the other part of the two-step. Step into peace and step up and share. Step up and share. You see, these gospel shoes really have at least three powerful cleats in them. And I want to show them to you. The first dimension of sharing, and again, it's critical to our job description as a Christ follower, is conviction. Convictions. Would you make that note? The A is for conviction. You see, we're told in 1 Peter 3:15 that we are to always be ready to give an account, to share why we believe the gospel is true. We're to be defenders of the faith. We should be able to effectively, cogently, compellingly, colorfully, creatively share why we believe Jesus is for real. And that is our conviction. It really boils down to this one statement Jesus made for me. It's John 14:6. Jesus said, I did not make this up. Jesus said, please look on your outline, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, Jesus said this, and I believe it. It's my core conviction. Jesus was not trying to start a debate about tolerance and intolerance. Jesus was simply making a declaration, akin to a doctor saying, you have a terrible septic infection, and if you don't get some antibiotics, you're going to die. You can reject what the doctor diagnoses, or you can receive it. But if you reject it, you do it at your own peril. Do you know what Jesus is saying here? I am the only way. Now, we live in a world of tolerance. That's the chief value. And I respect everybody, and I accept everybody, but I can't agree with everybody. That would require a mental illness. If you agreed with diametric opposites, that's absurd. That's ridiculous. You can't agree with pollution and purity all at the same time. Jesus said, I am the only way. Now, that's either true or not. But friend, be thoughtful here for a moment. You know, I got a phone here, and it just has one number that rings it. In the world of phones, truth is very narrow. 546-8787 doesn't get me. It's one digit off, but you don't connect. I got just one house key that opens my door. Every random key doesn't open my door. That's an absurd and ludicrous notion that all you need to do is just believe. That's crazy. It's not about believing. It's about the object of your belief. That's what makes the difference. And Jesus invites us to make him the object of our belief. You see, let me put it like this. Do you believe that this statement is true? Do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Do you believe that? Say amen if you believe it. I believe it with everything. I'm sold out to that truth. Do you believe there's a real heaven to be gained by trusting Jesus? If so, would you say amen?
Amen.
Do you believe there's a real hell to be missed when you trust Jesus?
Amen.
I believe it with my everything. And if we believe it, if we hold that conviction, it should prompt us to action. Now, let me pull you in real tight here. You see, your conviction should prompt action. So if you really believe this is true, then are your actions congruent to that belief? Then that means you should often be sharing Christ and his gospel with our lost world, understanding that he is the hinge point. You see, your eternal destiny is based on what you do with Jesus Christ. So it is imperative that we hold this conviction, and it lead us to frequently sharing Christ with others. Let's move from conviction to connections. Jesus said it like this in Paul's writing, 1 Corinthians 9, he said, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I may by all means save some. And that simply means that we are to creatively connect other people. One of my strengths would be relationships. I connect to a lot of different kinds of people. And I do that very intentionally so that I can build a relationship bridge from my heart to somebody else's so Jesus can walk across. It's that simple. I would urge you to be intentional and creative in connecting to people that don't know Christ so that you can connect them to Jesus. There's one last C. It's compassion. Would you make that note? Step up and share with conviction, through connections, and with compassion. You see, compassion is when we do as Jesus did. If you track the life of Jesus, he was constantly meeting human needs so that he could meet the greater spiritual need. He provided bread to the crowd so that he could provide the bread of life. He touched a blind man's eye so that he could declare, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows after me will not walk in darkness, but they'll have the light of life." You see, use your opportunity to express the love of Christ in this world. Jesus said it in John 13, verse 35, like this, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." There's an old saying that goes like this, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." That's why at First Baptist we have platforms like the Caring Center. Last year we helped over 20,000 people with tangible needs, food, clothing, addiction services, educational needs, English as a second language, and it's simply a platform to share Christ with people. I cannot begin to count the number of people that have come to the Lord because we have met these basic needs. What did we do last week over in Chisholm at the Nehemiah Center? We handed out 192 backpacks filled with school supplies and gospel tracts and crosses and Bibles. We did medical screenings. Why did we do that? Didn't have anything better to do on a Saturday? No, it was a platform so that we could stand up and effectively share the gospel. You win a hearing for Christ when you show the love of Christ. Yesterday we had the Haiti Summit here. About 85 people here, maybe 90 or 100, I'm not sure, but there were a bunch. From over 30 different churches, and we're partnering together in Haiti to create what? A platform of caring for orphans so that we can effectively share the gospel. We're feeding 750 kids a day and giving them education. Why? So we can share the gospel. It's a platform. And we've seen over 1,000 people embrace Christ because they felt the love of Christ. Do you see how it works? You see, when you have a new neighbor move in, make love edible by making them some cookies. And go down and share cookies and share the gospel, share Christ. Find your platform. That's how it works. Well, let me wrap it up. Here's the take-home point, and it's urgency. Oh, this is my compelling thought as I travel further down my life's road. Jesus said, "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day, because night is coming when no man can work." I heard a fabulous story a few years ago about a king. And this king called his messenger to him, and he said to the messenger, "There has been a man who has committed a crime, and he is about to be executed. I want you to hurry, hurry, hurry. Take the pardon to the executioner so that this man can be set free." So the messenger says, "Yes, great king, I'll do it immediately." So he was rushing down the road, and he was going to give the pardon to the executioner to save this man. But it's all of a sudden, he saw in his pathway his favorite bakery. And he smelled, oh, fresh bread. Oh, man, it smells so good. And he thought, "Just a moment, I've just got to run in. I'm starving, I'm famished, I got to get something to eat." So he ran by the bakery, stood in line, finally got his bread, got something to eat. He was rushing along, he was hurrying, hurrying, and all of a sudden, he heard a band playing. And oh, he loved music, and so he had to stop and listen just for a moment to the band, and there was a wonderful singer, and really enjoyed the music just for a moment. And then he realized he's got to hurry, much is on the line. He rushes along, and all of a sudden, he saw right in front of him a little kitten. Oh, a little kitten. And the little kitten had a thorn in its foot. And he had to stop, and he petted the kitten for a while. And he pulled out the thorn. And, "Oh, I got an important mission. I got to hurry." He comes up to the executioner's stand and he beats on the door and he said, "I'm the messenger, stay the execution." The man steps forward with a bloody axe. And he said, "It's too late. The sentence has been carried out. The prisoner is dead." And the messenger thought, "Oh no. Oh no, what is the king going to say? What will the king say to me? Friend, one day, someday, we will stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he has given us a job description. He has given us a holy privilege and responsibility to share his good news from the neighborhoods to the nations. And we've got to do it with passion and skill and urgency now." Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to hear your call across the ages to share your liberating gospel with the captives. Pray that if there's anybody here right now and they don't know you, they would choose to follow you now. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.